family.
It's the Carter family. I'm joking. I'm going to introduce Brother Mike, and then he's going to sing and preach. Don't you hate that, a guy that can do both? My. I got to talk to the Lord about that when I get to heaven. Some of us can't do one, and then somebody else can do both. Amen. They've been a blessing to us this morning, and we are going to have them tonight again and in the preacher's meeting. I've asked Brother Clark to preach. He's not only a great singer and servant of the Lord, but a great worker with teenagers and others, but can sing. And he might not tell you, but I think when he was maybe just a kid, he was out with his dad at Roloff's. Anybody hear Roloff on the radio? Lester Roloff? He's still on there. He's dead yet speaketh, like the Bible says. Amen. But Brother Clark is a blessing. We're going to ask him to come on, and he'll sing and preach to us this morning. You pray for him as he does. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Carter. It's easy to say someone can preach when you've never heard them. And so I thought, respectfully, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Wait till I'm done. Then he's going to say, well, he can sing anyway, maybe. All right, but God is good. This is Thanksgiving week, and thank God for the blessings that we have in our life. You'll hear someone get up and say, I don't know a more blessed person than I. And they're not bragging. I think that's the way all of God's children feel at times, or ought to feel. When I say, man, I'm blessed beyond measure, I hope in your heart you say, amen, brother, me too. And that's the way I feel about this. And Lord gave me this song a few years back. I was just looking at, man, people around me and stuff they go through, and whether they be lost or saved. You ever just wonder and say, man, their life has just seemed so difficult. I've not had to walk through some of those doors. I've not had to experience some of those experiences. Then I thought in the second verse about all of the blessings I have. There's a lot of people that don't have those blessings. I thought again, why is that? You know, when it comes down to it, there's no real good reason. We're not better than anyone. We're just blessed. And that's just God's goodness in our life. So as we think about God and His goodness, and we're thankful this week, hope this song will be a blessing.
I've been blessed.
by the hand of God, and though I fail, He blesses anyhow. There are no words to tell just how good God has been. I've been blessed, so blessed. I'm blessed beyond measure. I've been blessed, abundantly blessed, beyond measure. How many of you feel the same way? Amen. God is good this morning. Praise the Lord for that. If you'd open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22, in the Word of God this morning. It is a privilege to be here. I mean that with all of my heart. I count it a privilege to be here. I'm thanking God for this opportunity. And folks back home are praying for us to be a blessing. I'm excited to hear Brother Bobby Robertson preach. And what an honor. I told Pastor Carter I'd pay just to have my family around him and Brother Bobby, and I mean that. And my dad is reminding me of that when I call home. Mike, you know how blessed you are. These are some of the greatest men, and I know he wouldn't want us to say that, but that's the way we view him. And God is blessed. And again, not man worship, but honor to whom honor is due. And these are some great men of God, and I thank the Lord for that. Matthew chapter 22 this morning, and I'm going to preach as quickly as I can. All right, Brother Carter preaches like my dad. You said you're done by 12 o'clock normally, or close to it. And I'm thinking, how many of you say it's not always 12 o'clock, Mike? That's not, no, but Dad's is a short preacher, and my brother and I are a little long-winded, and that's not always a good thing. That means we ought to just spit it out and shut up. But what's we're going to try to do today? Father, we love you. Thank you for your blessings. And God, I pray that you would meet with us today. I thank you for this great church, Lord, the faithful testimony throughout the years, Pastor Carter and Mrs. Carter, and the faithful folks that have labored alongside, and people that have come year after year, sat in these pews and got their hands in on the work and given. And Lord, it's just a testimony to you, and I count it such a privilege to be here. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. We'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 34 is where we'll begin. You know, in the Word of God, we are commanded to love. We are commanded to love as God's people. When the Pharisees had heard, Matthew 22, 34, that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." And like many preachers do, do you ever hear someone say, "I'm going to throw this in for free"? They said, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love God." He said, "But wait, let me throw this one in." They didn't ask for it. "The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet." When they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "What is the greatest thing in all the world? What is the greatest commandment? What do we need to do more than anything else?" He said, "Love God." And then he said, "Let me tell you number two, right behind it, love your neighbor." I've never been to Landmark Baptist Church. I'm learning about the ministry, and I'm amazed as I drive through and see what God has done. And I'm sure there are things that are emphasized in this church. I know the Word of God is emphasized, Brother Carter, and he has a testimony for that. And I know conservative living with holiness and purity is emphasized, and good music. There's a lot of things emphasized in this ministry, and they are all good, and we do the same. And they are necessary. But when Jesus was asked, "What's at the top?" He said, "Love." Love's at the top. Loving God and loving your neighbor. In Luke chapter number 6, it's a little bit more difficult. We're told in verse 27 and verse 35 that we are to love our enemies. You say, "Boy, Jesus said love God. Wonderful. Love your neighbor. I hope that's easy." Love your enemies, that's more difficult. In Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, we're told to love our wife, aren't we? We ought to do, and I hope that's a natural thing and an easy thing for you to do. In Titus, ladies are told to love their husbands. It's interesting to me, it says that they ought to get the elderly women to teach the younger women to love their husbands, like they have to go to school to figure out how to do it. You know what I mean? I always took that a little personal. I'm thinking, what? You know, you got to, here, let's have a class on how you do it, ladies. We're that bad, guys. But they're told, hey, love your husbands and love your children. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You cannot deny the emphasis that God puts on love in the Word of God. And again, I'm for all things that are part of a church. It's great. It's wonderful. They're necessary. But we would be wise to emphasize what God emphasized, what the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized. Look at this. John chapter 13, verse 33. John 13, 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, Jesus was getting ready to die. He knew he would be put on the cross. He knew he'd be put in the grave. He knew he'd rise 3 days later. But he was leaving, and he had told his disciples many times, where I'm going, you cannot come with me. And they struggled with that. So as he's getting ready and preparing them for himself leaving, and you don't waste words at the end of your life. You don't waste words when you're getting ready to move on and when you're giving some final words. And he's saying to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you. I'm leaving. You're staying here. That ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. And then he said this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Folks, these are some powerful words from our Savior concerning love. It does not say when your neighbors see you going to church, they'll know that you're a follower of Christ, though your neighbors ought to see you go to church. It does not say when they see your Bible tucked under your arm that they'll know you are a follower of Christ, though you ought to bring a Bible to church. It does not say when you put on your Sunday dress clothes, and if you have them on today, wonderful. It does not say when they see you dressed up, surely he or she is a Christian, though there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said when they see your love, they'll know. When they see your love, they'll know that you are a Christ follower. You understand that God is love. This word love, God is love. Do people see God in you? And there's churches out there, and they're emphasizing all kinds of things. And again, some of them are important, some of them may not be so important, but we would be wise this morning to take a step back and say, God, if you said the greatest thing was love, loving you, loving our neighbor, and this is how people will know we're followers of Christ and we're trying to lead people to you, we ought to be people concerned with how much love they're seeing in our lives. Too many Christians have the understood love mentality. You've heard the age-old joke about the couple that came to the pastor and they're having problems. And what's the problem? And the wife said, we've been married 20 years. My husband never tells me that he loves me. And the husband said, I told you when we got married that I loved you and I would let you know if it ever changed. It's in here, but it just doesn't come out. Listen to me. That's not a good thing. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Church, listen to me. Haines City cannot see inside of you. They can't see in our hearts and see if there's love in there and compassion in there. What they're going to see is the outward manifestations of love. You understand? And it is so important that we are people that love. I come from the North. Some of you also. How many of you are Yankees and you came down here? All right. Look at that. My soul. How big our church could be if you'd just go back home. Come on now. They're moving down here, preacher, all the time. Hey, in the North, we have a reputation for coldness, not just temperature. I'm talking about cold people. I come down south and I don't even know what to do when I walk in a store and someone walks up. I've been there with preachers many times. How are you doing today? Great, great. And they're having a conversation. I'll be with the pastor friend and I'll walk out and say, who was that? He said, I don't know. I'm like, well, why were you talking to them? Why were they talking to you? And they're like, I'm like, we don't do that at home, all right? You don't wave at people and talk to people. That doesn't happen. We are a cold people, and we've got a reputation for that, and we've earned it. Yeah, back home, let the light turn green, and just don't hit that gas pedal fast enough, all right? You're going to find out they are not friendly people around here, and that's the area I come from. But listen to me, many churches are cold also. Let's look at these scriptures quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, talking to the church at Thessalonica, was praising them for not being cold, but for being a loving church. And again, this is my first time here at Landmark. And so I don't know what you folks are all about, but I hope that you're similar to this church at Thessalonica. I don't want to have a cold church at home. You understand, people say many times that they decide in the first few minutes if they'll ever come back. And you say, why is that? Because of you. Yeah, because of me. Are they loved or are they not loved? Look at this church at Thessalonica. Interesting here. If you would look here at chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse number 9. Here's Paul talking to this church. He says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And look what he says. What a praise to this church. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. He's like, I don't even have to talk to you about this. God has worked on you concerning loving people. And he said, you're getting a thumbs up. You guys are doing a great job with this. But then he said this, I don't need to tell you, but I am. And then he says at the end of verse 10, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. He said, Church of Thessalonica, you are a loving church. But let me just encourage you, be even more loving. Love is of God. Hey, you can't be too loving of a church. And I believe this is a loving church. I really do. And I've enjoyed our time here. But boy, I'll tell you, flip over to the next page. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. Look at this. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly. That's awesome. And the charity. We know that that's talking about an expressed love of every one of you all toward each other. Look at this word. It's a great word. Aboundeth. This right here was an awesome church to be in. Twice they're praised. He said, hey, the charity, the expressions of love of, watch this, every one of you. Man, you walked into that place and you were a loved person. And here's the word, aboundeth. Aboundeth. That is a church that pleases God. That is a church people will want to come to. That is a church, not because we're seeker sensitive and we're trying to conform to, no, because we're being like God when we are a loving church. 1 Corinthians 13, we can do an awful lot of things, but if it's not love driven, it's going to come to naught. Bestow all my goods to feed the poor. If I give it all away and have not charity, profit me nothing. If I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it is nothing. We have got to be people that, watch, we love and we express our love. Do you understand that whether or not you love people is a test to whether or not you even know God? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Watch, he that loveth not, we're talking about loving one another, he that loveth not knoweth not God. If you don't love people, you don't know God, because God loves people. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Everybody needs to know they're loved. By the way, men, and I don't think it would be this way, love is not a girl thing. Love is a God thing. It really is. And Jesus Christ, what's the biggest thing? He said, love. Love. Love God and love your neighbor. Hey, disciples, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I've got to go. A new commandment, love this world. And when they see your love, man looks on the outward, they'll know you're a follower of me. Are people seeing God in you? How well are we doing at expressing our love? We're supposed to be reaching this world. Can I say this to you first this morning? We can express our love, number one, by what we say. By what we say. Look at John chapter 21. We'll look at a few scriptures, a few points, and we'll go home this morning. John chapter 21. Look at this. John chapter 21. Jesus Christ knew all things, didn't he? And so any question that he asked was a rhetorical question. He already knew the answer to it. But in John chapter 21 and verse 15, he asked one of his disciples, Simon Peter. Simon, middle of the verse, 21:15, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Hey, Simon, do you love me more than these? And again, somewhat could be frustrating because the Lord knows everything. And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he goes on two more times and says, Peter, do you love me? If Jesus knew it all, why was he asking the question? Can I say this? And I do believe Peter loved the Lord. He was asking this question because he wanted Peter to say it. That's it. He wanted Peter to say it. Yes, Lord, I love you. Church, let me encourage you. If you love someone, then say it. Tell people. Here we are, Sunday morning, before Thanksgiving, right? It's 22nd? Is that right? I got the right date today? I'm bad with that. If you love someone, church, listen to me, tell them. It's in here. It needs to come out here. There are people that I'm looking at, just like Peter loved the Lord. I'm looking at you this morning. There are people that love their mom, love their dad, love their children. They love their pastor. They love their Sunday school teacher. Maybe they haven't seen in many years. Can I ask you a question? When is the last time you said it? When is the last time you let them know, hey, I love you? There was a gentleman in our town who was just in his 40s, and he was a mentor to me. I work in our Christian school, and he was just a phenomenal principal of a school. And I remember for a long time sitting there, Brother Carter, thinking, I need to tell Brother Peterson how much he means to me. And time would go on. I think, I've got to write him a note. I've got to give Brother Peterson a call. You know how the story goes. The phone rang. Mike, did you hear the news? That's never good. I said, I didn't. In his 40s, Brother Peterson had a massive heart attack, and he's gone. And I immediately thought, I did not say it. I thought it. Oh, I thought it many times, preacher. But on that day, maybe when he needed it, it didn't do him any good that I was thinking it. It didn't do him any good that it was in my heart because I never expressed it. When they see your love, oh, well, they know. Mom knows, Dad knows, my kids. No, 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 no. Say it. Say it. And there's so many ways to say it today. With technology, you can text it, you can phone call, you can write a letter, you can do all kinds of things. Put it on their napkin when they go to school in their lunch bag. You could really embarrass them, put it all over the outside of their lunch bag when they go to school, whatever it might be. But there are ways to tell people that we love them and we need to say it. Someone should hear from you today. Honestly, there are people that you say, man, they mean so much to me. Tell them. You understand the power your tongue has for good and evil? Jesus, what's the most important thing? Love God. By the way, we ought to tell him. And love your neighbor by what we say. Number two, look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Not only can we express our love by what we say, but look, if you would, Matthew chapter 26. We can express our love here. Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse number 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. and poured it upon his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Number one, by what we say we can express our love, but we can express our love, number two, by what we do. By what we do. This lady took this alabaster box of costly ointment and broke it and anointed Jesus with it. And notice what Jesus said. Wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in this whole world, what this woman hath done will be told for a memorial. November the 22nd, 2015, Haines City, Florida, a congregation of people talking about what she did 2,000 years ago. She never dreamed it. She never dreamed that alabaster box would live this long, Brother Carter. She had no idea. Do you understand how this impacted our Savior? He said, forever and everywhere the gospel is preached, what she did to express her love is going to be told. Hey, folk, listen to me. People don't forget what you do for them. They may not always be good at expressing it, their thanks, but they remember. They remember the things that you have done for them. And I remember the things that people have done for me. Not long ago, my son Michael has type 1 diabetes. And he likes to go out with a construction company in our church and shovel snow. That's white stuff that falls from the sky in the north. It's very cold. You can pile it up, shape it into little circles, put three on top, make snowmen. You ought to try it sometime. Michael wanted to go out and shovel snow. We had had a tournament and his numbers were way off. Some of you are familiar with diabetes. His numbers were just radically off. He'll go high, he'll go low, and it was bad. And I said, Mike, you can't go shovel snow tonight. You've lost sleep over the last few nights, and I know they're going, and I know you're 16, and I know you want to work. Can't do it. A few weeks later, I walked into his bedroom and I noticed a letter on his dresser. It was from a man in our church that was working that night. And he wrote Mike a note. He said, Mike, I know you're a strong young man. You like to work and you couldn't do it last night. I've never seen you complain about your diabetes. Just want you to know I love you. And here's the money you would have made had you worked. Keep on. And he signed his name, Giovanni. I saw that preacher. I'll never forget it. He's not buying my friendship, but he impacted my life. It's not about $120. It's about an expression of love. He did for me. He did for my boy. We don't have time to elaborate on this point. You have the power to do small things, big things. You could do for someone this week if you want to. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're here. What's most important? Love God. And by the way, wait, don't go. Love your neighbor. Hey, guys, the whole world will know you're my followers when they see your love by what we do, by what we do. I'm going to give it to you, not preach it. Number three, we can express our love by showing affection. John chapter 21 and verse number 20. You could look at it later. There was a disciple called the Beloved, and his name was John. And you know why we know, preacher, he's the Beloved? Because he's the one who leaned on Jesus' bosom, didn't he? He was the one hugging Jesus. Nothing weird, nothing wrong. Just a man saying, "Hey, I love you." And he would hug his Savior. I just put my hand on this brother's shoulder. Can I tell you, he feels it. You do. And if I sit here next to him, don't let me sit on your Bible here. And if I sat here like this, and we wouldn't do it long, but if I said, "Man, I love you." At times, we feel slightly awkward because we got those arms there. Hey, you've been there. We call man hugs at home. Handshake, pull them in, and then beat them on the back hard with that other arm. You understand? No feminine stuff, but just, hey, but you know that stuff. I saw Brother Barry. He picked me up at the airport, and I walked up, handshake. He feels it. That's nice. I pulled it in, and I gave him a man hug. And you know what? That said something to him. I grew up in a home. Listen to me. I grew up in a home, honestly, where we love each other. You haven't all, by the way, going back to point number one, some of you grew up in a home where "I love you" was a rare word. Let me encourage you, break that cycle. Break that cycle. I left, and when we left for the airport, these six grandkids, myself and my wife, all got hugs from my dad. That's just the way it is. We have a little preacher in Philadelphia. His name is Pastor Penichetti. He is about 4.5 feet high, 4.5 feet wide. Been pastoring there, you'd love him. 30-something years, inner city Philly. Every time I walk up, Italian. I mean Italian to the hilt. He is like the Pope of Philadelphia, Independent Baptist. He'll look at me and he'll grab my cheeks. "Michael, how you doing, babe?" And I mean, he's Italian as can be. He'll turn my cheek. I ain't doing it. Smooch me right on the cheek. And I'll go, "I love you, honey. How's mom? How's dad?" If you said to me, "Mike, does Pastor Penichetti love you?" Absolutely. He gives me a kiss every time he sees me. And I thank God he's not Russian, all right? I can handle this. Not here. No, no, just don't do that. Hey, you love someone, I'm serious about this, and nothing inappropriate. Pastor doesn't want men hugging the women of this church. No, listen to me, but your children, your people that you care about, these, you ought to show affection. John the Beloved. Why? He's the one that hugged Jesus. Oh, yeah, it says a lot. You study, we don't have time. You study children and their development when they're not touched or shown affection. It's part of what we're supposed to be. I thank God. I go, to this day, my dad, I'll say bye to him. I'll give him a kiss on the cheek. Maybe that's not the way your family was, but it's a good thing to show affection. Good thing. Moving on quickly, and we'll be done in just a second. Ready? Here we go. Look at this one. Luke chapter 10. Look here, just, and then I'll give you one more verse in conclusion. Luke chapter 10. What's the most important thing in the world? Love God, but then love your neighbors yourself. By this shall all men know. By what we say, by what we do, by showing affection. Let me encourage you on this point, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she helped me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You know what Mary did? She stopped, and she gave Jesus her time. We can show our affection, show our love, by giving people our time and attention. Do you understand how powerful that is? Do you understand how many people go through life and they feel like in some way they've missed it? There are guys that have said to me over and over and over again, and some of you would say the same thing, "Mike, the kids are going to grow up like that. Don't miss it." You never hear a guy See, I wish I had spent more time at the office, but we've heard it over and over and over again. I should have spent more time with my family. The people that you love, listen to me, give them your time and attention. Martha running, running, all. She's so busy, she's so busy. And Mary said, I love you enough to give you my time. She gave her time to Jesus. He said, that's the good part. Husbands and wives, no doubt we love each other. It's in here. Watch. But we need to clear the schedule and spend some time with each other. And I'm preaching right at me. I'm busy. I'm running. I remember one time I was listening to a Christmas special, and there were different country musicians on there being interviewed. And they're talking about, oh, my favorite Christmas, I got a little red bike. My favorite Christmas was I got this little guitar. Someone else, I got a ukulele. And I thought, what is a ukulele? But anyway, they're talking about all the stuff and what made their favorite Christmas. And they came to Hank Williams Jr. and they said, Hank, I was surprised they aired it, honestly. What was your favorite Christmas, Hank Jr.? He said, I don't have a lot of good Christmas memories. This is what he went on to say. He said, I got all the toys that every kid in my neighborhood wanted. Full-size pinball machines. His dad was the country music star, Hank Williams. Go-karts. This is what he said. Christmas afternoon, the whole neighborhood was at my house for the stuff I got. He said, but what I wanted for Christmas was just my dad. And he said he was always too busy. I heard that. I thought, how sad. How sad. He just wanted some time. Husbands, spend some time with your wife. Wife with your husband. Parents with your children. Friends, stop saying we need to get together and get together. Life's a vapor. Don't blink. Don't let it go by and then go, oh, we should have. We should have. We can express our love by giving our time and attention. I won't preach this one. We can express our love by our loyalty. By our loyalty. I think of John 18:10 in the garden. There they are. They come to arrest Jesus. And you remember Peter takes off Malchus's ear? Remember that? All the disciples fled. Peter gets a bad time. I know he denied the Lord. But man, in that situation, when they were attacking Jesus, Peter stood with them. Put that ear back on. By the way, if someone puts your ear back on after it was cut off, you might not want to try to arrest that person. I'm just saying. But you know what he said, Peter? It's okay. But let me tell you something Jesus knew right then. This guy loves me. You just took a soldier's ear off for me? Thank you. Hey, your preacher's been here a long time. Some of you people that have been loyal to him, we can express our love by our loyalty. Hey, means a lot. You spouses been loyal to each other, means a lot. Faithful church members been loyal friends for years. Loyalty. Boy, it's lost in our day and age, isn't it? Oh, we mess up. When we mess up, we ought to get it right and move on. None of us are perfect. But what a disloyal age we live in. Be loyal. Be loyal. I'm done. How have you been doing at expressing your love? If we look at your life, the way you love, I'm not talking about what you feel inside, the way you express it, does it shout to this lost world that you're a disciple of Christ? The amount of love that you're showing, how loudly does it speak? You know what? With some effort, we could change that this week. We could give a hug. We could make a call. We could say the word. So often it's inside. We could do for someone. It could be a cup of coffee. It could be a pie. It could be anything. Listen to me, they'll never forget it. We can be loyal. The greatest expression of love ever was the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor mentioned some of you are here for the first time. Maybe you're here all the time. Greatest expression of love ever. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he could have just told us that he loved us. But his expression was that he gave his only begotten son. You can't argue with that. You understand, God's son, Jesus Christ, gave his life for you and for me. That was his expression of love. And he came to this earth and he died on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven, so that he could be your savior, so that heaven can be your home. What a gift that is. Christmas is just around the corner. It would be an awful thing to witness someone walking up with a gift and saying, here, I've got this for you, and see that gift rejected. This morning, have you received that gift? Have you received God's greatest expression of love ever? His son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We were building a snowman at our house. That's that white stuff again. Across the street was an elderly lady, Mrs. Noecker. We went over, we shoved me and the boys and my daughter, Kayla. In our family, we say girls are tough. All right, boys are tough, girls are tough. We're out there shoveling snow for Mrs. Noecker. She's up in her 80s, very young. Very young preacher, all right, in her 80s. And Mrs. Noecker's out there, and we're there, and we've got the snowman. We shoveled her walk. She opened the door, and she gave us some cookies, right? She looked out her door, and she said, oh, you guys made a snowman. She said, wait one second. And in our snowman, we had a carrot, and you had the whole deal, man, just hat, whatever. She comes back, and my children are there. And Kayla, my daughter, she's got the soft heart. Mrs. Noecker comes out with a scarf. She says, here, let me give you this scarf for your snowman. And again, you look out her window and she can see that in her front yard. And Kayla immediately started to say, no, Mrs. Noecker, we don't want your scarf. And I started to do the old parent elbow thing. You know what I mean? I start hitting her. And Kayla looks at me and she was just trying to be kind. Kayla was, you know. I said, take the scarf, you know. So we take it. Thank you, Mrs. Noecker. Thank you. We went out there and put that scarf around that snowman's neck. And I said to her, I said, Kayla, I'm not upset with you. I know you felt bad that she gave you her scarf. But listen to me, that's her way of loving us. You don't want to reject that. You know how happy it makes her to look out there until that thing melts, see that scarf around there? That's her expression of love. Church, listen to me, God's expression of love was a cross with our Savior. If you've received him, you know how great our God is. If you've not, hey, don't reject him another day. Come today and say thank you for that. And if we are God's children, may we emphasize what God did when he said, the greatest commandment is to love me. Let's do that. But the second, let's love the people around us. And this is what we'll tell them, that you're a follower of me. That track may go a whole lot further after they've seen our love. You understand? That's just the way it is. It's God's way. People around you, they need love. We all do. God is love. Let's love the way God wants us to. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know you as Savior, that today they would come to know you as Savior. Lord, those of us that have been born again, God, may we live out the feelings we have inside. God, I don't doubt they're inside. But God, let us express our love. And when people see it, oh, it will shout to them that we're a follower of you. And I believe it will impact others coming to Christ as well. Thank you for this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Invitations open. Powerful message. Inside of us, we know we love and